Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Focus on. Welcome to Women Who Inspire. Crystal, are you there?
Yes, good afternoon. How are you?
Thank you. Welcome to Women Who Inspire. My guest today is Crystal Backman. And Crystal is going to talk about people who are incarcerated and the coronavirus epidemic. You know, thank you for being on the show, Crystal. They talk a lot about nursing homes and coronavirus, but they never talk
yes.
about people who are incarcerated and how bad mm-hmm. the problem is in the prison system. So can you kind of enlighten us and tell us what's going on?
Well, I'm in the same predicament as everyone else. I've been educating in the prison system since 2006, but I am not an official. I don't hold an office. I'm just an educator. And so I have not been allowed to go back behind bars since this pandemic hit. And, of course, I am not privileged to information as to what goes on. I simply, like the general public, have to look at the news and go on my experience in the past with how they divulge information, and I can kind of draw my conclusions from there. And I must say,
okay.
I'm quite upset with what's going on.
Okay, so can you tell us from your perspective what is going on?
What's going on is that let's draw conclusions. We're intelligent thinking people. You
okay.
can see on the news. You can see on the news how things are being shown as to how the elderly and the nursing home situation is. It's shameful. What's being found,
right.
what's being discovered, it's shameful. And if that's being done to our elderly who are innocent, who have worked for decades, built up this country, if that's how they're treated and abandoned, can you imagine those who we judge to deem to be guilty as all sin, worthy of punishment and death? Can you imagine what's being siphoned out for them? Just imagine that. And they are sending out videos from those that are able to have access to communication outside, and they're showing us. There are certain news media that are able to, they don't care. They take the chance. They take those calls, and we're able to see by video some of the things that are going on. That is not made up. And it is shameful because it creates bigger problems, even with the release of many inmates in different places. You cannot just release them. You can cause an even bigger problem. So you're not sending help in, and when they're released, you're not sending them out with help.
So are a lot of people being are a lot of people let out of prison who are infected, would you think?
I would say what they were trying, they will not say anything that was done carelessly or recklessly. But if you did not test each person before you let them out, of course you put the public at risk. That will never be said out loud.
Uh-huh.
But as a thinking person, you can kind of put two and two together. Okay? If you're just letting
uh-huh.
them out, you're just letting
right.
them out. Here you go. Door's open. There's nothing in their hand to say, okay, I've been cleared. We're not finished being tested out here yet.
Okay.
So, they didn't mm-hmm. ship a bunch of tests back behind bars and say, okay, we've tested you, you're clear, you're free to go home and help your family. That's not how that went. It's just, okay, we've decided due to this pandemic, it's safer to let some of you out that are, you know, nonviolent, that were just being held on bond and couldn't pay for it. We're just going to let you out. Never mind the fact that we've already exposed you to a few thousand men already behind bars in close confinement, where you could have as many as four men inside of one cell.
Okay, and this is going on throughout the country.
Yes.
Okay. So, if this is the case, the average person who is concerned about containing the virus and looking mm-hmm. into the problem, is there a way that they could do that?
Well, here is my thinking, okay? Mm-hmm. I had a relative many years ago that was incarcerated. If this was going on then, at that time, if that loved one was coming home, we would immediately, number one, protect the family member coming home because we could infect them just as much as they could infect us. We still
right.
have to, and coming home, we still must practice, everyone must agree to the same bathing habits, sanitizing habits, the hand washing, the face washing, everything still needs to be in place. And then as soon as you can be tested, get tested. Not so much that the inmate's going to come home or the ex-offender's going to come home and wreak havoc in your house. They could be just fine. But you're asymptomatic. They come home and you infect them.
Oh, wow.
So listen, we're not thinking about it like that. We are so pro-judgment until we don't think that we could possibly do them harm. You see what I mean? And so we've got
uh-huh.
to take the same precaution. We've got to take the labels off of them right now because every human life is facing a threat right now. Every heart beating is facing the threat of this health crisis.
Right.
So we've got to look at it like uh-huh. that, one human being at a time, and take the same precautions. Okay, we don't want to have a perfectly healthy human being come home that can help and possibly get a job of some kind and help support the family. We infect them because we want them home, and then they're shut down as well. And you've got a big problem. So you've got to treat them like you would treat anybody else. Get the best care, practice safe distancing, bathe, and listen for as much information as possible and follow it to stay safe.
So the people that are employees in the prison systems,
mm-hmm.
have they been told to not say anything about what's going on, from your understanding?
I cannot tell you what they're telling employees. I couldn't tell you that. If I knew what they were saying, I couldn't tell you that. I have
okay.
no knowledge of that because, like I said, I'm not allowed back in. But as intelligent thinking people, you can pretty much put two and two together. The idea is to keep down as much panic as possible. If you want to keep down panic, you keep down as much information as possible that might cause a panic. You see what I mean? So you take things, you know, you do the safest thing possible, and you have to be able to think on your feet. Because you know what we're hearing on the news. So you better use some common sense, think on your feet, and protect yourself and your family. Check on your neighbors. Check on everybody while this thing gets straightened out. We've not gotten tested yet, but the big fight is on a capitalism level now. It's about where the money is and who's getting it and who should open and who should not. So, you know, we've got to keep our head on straight, even if those that head us don't seem to have their head on straight.
So you were saying that there's videos being taken. How could somebody who's interested in finding out what's going on, how can they find out where the videos are located?
Well, specifically where they're located, they're not going to tell you. No journalist worth his weight is going to tell you where his sources are, but they can tell you in watching the feed or the video that's sent, or even the letters that go out. Inmates are still writing at home and sharing with family and friends what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
They're writing their fears. They're writing how they're being treated, what they're being given, what they're not being given. You know, you can't stop that communication. It is what it is. And then when you look at the news, when the news decides to cover it, it's very little.
Uh-huh.
They will stay on that for 5 minutes, and then they're off of that. You understand? If you go on YouTube and Google coronavirus impacts prisons, you will see more videos clustered together and watch them consecutively by date, and you can kind of see the consistency of what's going on.
And that's coming from prisons throughout the country.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And there's even a few from around the world. You know, this is worldwide, and they're all handling it a little differently, and some have been a little more cautious than we've been here. You know what I mean? Because it's huge in densely populated areas.
So your feeling is, unless the prison system is forthcoming and what's going on, nobody's really going to know unless they Google if they're interested, right?
Well, you have Google. You have what you can piece together with the news. And, of course, all news media reports to the YouTube channel. And you can kind of see bits and pieces there.
So
that's how you can
find
out.
So when did you first realize that this is going to be a problem?
Oh, well, of course, you know, they let us know. You know, our media and our government lets us know when they just can't afford to not let us know. Okay, we got drips and drabs. We're hearing now back in January. You hear clusters of it. I'm not a news person, so unless it's anything very serious, I don't really pay too much attention to the news except the basic headlines. You heard about more of it in February. We're getting serious, but, you know, there was no commitment. You know, they hit and miss with the news. And then, you know, by March, you know, you're too late. You know, you're too late. And then basically you realize back during Christmas time when we were wrapping presents, we should have been making masks.
But nobody around Christmas time even comprehended that this was going to be a worldwide problem, right, Crystal?
Well, I mean, no. But then again, it's what the media and our elected officials, it's when they decide to let us know. They're always ahead of the game with information. It's when they decide to let us know, which is the issue.
Okay.
So if we would have known ahead of time, if we would have had officials that took it serious the first time, there was a possibility of something like this happening. We could have put things in place, but we were busy worrying about an election at that point, remember?
Yeah, we were
focused on an election. That's what our focus was on. We were focused on the issues with sex trafficking. That was a big issue before this broke out. And so, you know, so now when you just can't hide it anymore because it's hit your borders, now they take a different position. And now it's, you know, well, we saw the timeline. We saw the timeline of when things were exposed and when it should have been dealt with. And there's really no hiding the fact that it just got ignored too long. And now we're playing catch up.
Right. So what would you say to people who are listening to this? Would you say that YouTube is the best source of information?
YouTube is a helpful source of information because most news medias have YouTube channels. Me, I never like to go with just one source. I like to watch. I like to read. I go outside of my neighborhood. I communicate. I look around. I sense the atmosphere, as well as reading the papers, whatever I can get my hands on. And you can kind of put two and two together. You know, you can't just sit with your hands folded and hope someone's going to knock on your door and let you know, okay, the sun's back out, you can come back out and play. You have to be proactive at this point, especially when you have children and you have those with compromised immune systems and you have the elderly. You know, I have family all over the country that I'm concerned about. So you
right.
have to be proactive. You have to be proactive on a daily basis and take care of yourself, which is very important. And if you have someone that's incarcerated, to make sure that you stay in as much communication as possible, encouraging them, and just give them whatever suggestions you can to stay as clean and as calm as possible. And request answers. If you don't demand some answers from what's going on, you will not get them. You're not going to get an update in the mail about what's going on with the incarcerated. You're not getting that information.
When the letter goes in and out from the prison system, are they read before the person gets it, or the person is sending the letter? In other
words, can it be different? Every prison is different. Every prison has a different way of handling the mail. And depending on the level of prison it is, and depending on whatever problems they've had in the past, they handle it very differently. Of course, within the rights of the inmate and the safety of the prison and what the warden requires. And everything, of course, is from a safety standpoint first. All mail is handled, going in and out. How? It depends on each individual institution.
So, you know, we're touching upon incarceration, and you mentioned nursing homes. Is there any other group that you're aware of that might have a high level of coronavirus that's not being reported?
No. I think the news media has done a good job at pointing out where our vulnerable areas are. They've targeted the elderly and the disabled. They've done a good job with that, I believe. They've targeted the incarcerated. All those that can't really help themselves, the media has done a good job at least shining a light on it. Even if they can't solve it, it's made aware to the public. And I think that's the best that the media can do. Now, what does concern me is, you know, when I learned about the loss of an infant and the loss of life of a 5-year-old when supposedly the virus couldn't affect them. But it's affecting our children now. So I'm concerned about that. Not a lot of talk about that, but it's happening. So is this another strain that's developing? Is this something that always was the case, but it's been hidden? We don't know. And they're talking about opening the schools back up. That's insane. And so, you know, you really have to put your thinking cap on and your prayer cap on and kind of really protect yourself in your home. Because what they're saying is not possible is becoming possible.
Okay. You know, it just hit us all of a sudden, and it was such a shock, and people have to get used to another way of living, another way of thinking within a short period of time. It boggles my mind, and I'm sure it boggles your mind also.
Yeah, it does. And I have concerns, you know, but I try my best not to worry more than I pray. And I think I shared that in our first conversation. I'm a praying person, and it helps keep me sane and balanced. And I try to look for the good that I can do in this, and I look at the good other people are doing that are pulling together, that are pulling out their own resources to help people where the government seems to be a little slow. And so I try to look at those positive things to keep myself going and motivated. I'm still making masks here from home to try to help out. That's what I can do. I can't go into the nursing homes right now to volunteer. And they certainly are not going to let me into prisons anytime soon until this is cleared up. So I do what my hands can do, and I take care of myself so that my children are not worried about me.
So when were you locked out of the prison? When did you hear that you couldn't go back in and teach?
Sometime in March.
Okay.
Sometime in March, we got the announcement that we were not going to be resuming our program.
And, you know, there was no, they didn't give you a date. Of course, they didn't give you a date when you could re-enter, right?
Nope, not at all.
So,
I'm rallying now, trying to get to see if we can get some masks donated to the prisons. Everyone is making masks all over the world. And I'm just wondering, no one is mentioning, can we send some masks back behind the prison walls where they are the most needed?
Right.
I think that's something that needs to be done, and no one's mentioning that. But we have people who are gifted sewers and seamstresses that are making them by the hundreds every day. And I would love it if someone would go and just reach out to a prison and say, listen, we can't come in, but would you take these boxes of cotton masks so that the men and women who are incarcerated can protect themselves? I think that would be awesome and a big help in a big way, because I don't hear anything about masks being distributed behind bars. I don't. And I don't see it.
Okay. Wow. Wow. So when you first got the notice that you couldn't go into the prisons, did you think that the problem was going to be as severe as it became?
Yeah, I did.
You did?
I did. Yeah, I did.
Wow.
Because you have to keep in mind, there were crises behind bars long before Corona hit. The prisons
right.
are in the news all the time. You know, it's a pandemic of all kinds behind bars. This just really makes it horrific. But there's always been a crisis behind bars with overcrowding and the over-sentencing, the over-fining. There's always been a big problem. But it's not addressed. It's not a priority.
But overcrowding, that's a recipe for a lot of people dying, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
So
people who are interested in finding out, you know, about this issue, besides YouTube, where can they turn?
The nearest jail or prison near you, write a letter to the warden. I wouldn't waste time dealing with commissioners and mayors, and your stuff will get lost if it reaches them at all. Hit directly to the institution if you have a loved one that's incarcerated, a family member, or you just want to reach out because your normal volunteer job has resolved because you can't go in. Reach out to that warden, send a letter, and say, how can we be of assistance from out here? What can we donate? Can we donate masks? Do you need clean cotton sheets? What can we do? There's something that we can do. We're helping the elderly. We're bringing them groceries and clothing and whatever. We can't go in, but we're sitting it outside on the doorstep, and they come out and collect it and go back inside. I have a family member we're doing that for as we speak. So there's much you can do. There's much that can be done to help those that are incarcerated. If you have family that's locked up, you have every right to call. You have every right to write a letter and request it to be signed for so that there's accountability, and ask what can be done.
Okay,
and I think
now
a mask would be great.
I know in the nursing homes, the elderly are not can't see visitors right now. Is it the same in prisons and jails where
Absolutely.
A family member?
Absolutely.
It
is airtight. It is airtight. It really is, even more so. They must be completely separated because we could do them great harm and vice versa. Because they're not being tested. They're only being tested if they're tested. If they come up with symptoms, if they have symptoms, they're isolated. They're put in isolation, and then they're given some type of medical care, and they take it from there. But it is a case-by-case basis. That's it.
Wow.
As needed. Care as needed. That's it.
Mm.
And
so
then you
got
to get someone to pay attention to you. You got to get someone to believe you that you're having symptoms. You see what I mean?
Right. So, Crystal, our time is almost up. So, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in teaching in prisons.
Oh, since we shared this before, it's 2006, I was invited to teach, and I was a college instructor at the time, and I was invited to teach behind prisons. They needed someone to teach adult education. And I took up the job to do that as a volunteer. And then I took contract work teaching adult education so men could get their GEDs. And I've been doing that since 2006.
Wow.
It's just
great.
It's a life, it's a calling. It's a calling. And I've seen some wonderful things happen. And so I will just stay in this lane of work, you know, until God gives me another assignment. But there's so much work to do here, I'll probably be involved to some degree until, you know, my days are over in this world. But help is needed. Help is greatly needed. And whatever we can do here in the public, if it's just a letter to say, please make sure that they're cared for medically and given decent nutrition, you know, that doesn't take away from anybody doing that. And that's
Crystal,
it. That's what I do.
Thank you so much. I always enjoy talking with you. You've been listening to Crystal Backman, right? Is that how you pronounce
it? Yes, ma'am. Backman.
And this is Women Who Inspire. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, Women Who Inspire. So stay safe, stay healthy, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.